Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Pixelated Sausage Show. Hi, 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 hi. Hi, how are y'all doing? I am, of course, your host, Mark Kuznez. Remember to like the video. If you like it, if you don't like it, remember to not like it, to thumbs down it. Maybe don't do that if you don't like it, just go your separate way. We'll go our separate ways. We'll go our separate ways. You go your way, I'll go my way. Neither way has to be the highway. And we definitely don't want to eat any Milky Ways. Milky Ways suck. Is that going to get you to thumbs down me? The fact that I don't like Milky Ways? Does anyone really like? I guess the people who would like Milky Ways are the people who don't like nuts. Because the Milky Way is just a Snickers without the nuts. Correct? Three Musketeers is the all nougat, which is disgusting. At least Milky Way has caramel going for it, but I like the nuts. And that's why I prefer Baby Ruth's, which I think are Snickers without the caramel, but they have more nuts in them. And I like nuts in my mouth. That's why Paydays are my favorite. Give me a bit of that. And Payday's a peanut butter, or not a peanut butter, it's peanut butter bit and then just a lot of nut and a good amount of salt. Because that's what I like. I like a bit of sweet and savory. Give me a little sweetness and a lot of saltiness, and I will love you like I love a payday. God, I love nuts in my mouth. Oh. If I did TikTok, I would cut that out and put it on TikTok. Should I start putting clips on TikTok? I've been thinking about it. So that means I should now start trying to make things that I think will be for TikTok, and that means the content will go significantly down. And speaking of down, that doesn't transition at all, but the games I'll be talking about on today's podcast eventually are Contra Operation Galuga. I like Galuga because it makes me think of the Mask and his honker, his little, not what is it? Honk honk? What's a honk honk? What do you call a honk honk? Oh my God. I feel like an idiot. Oh God. What is a honk honk? A horn? Is that what you call a horn? The thing you do is got the air bubble and then the little spout and you go pushy push and it goes honk. Or in the case of the Mask, it goes, ah, that thing. I'm sorry for spiking the audio. But in addition to Contra Operation Galuga, we also have Ario, Tamarack Trail, Garden Life, A Cozy Simulator, Manic Mechanics, and Stunt Paradise. There's some good games here. There's some good games, some okay games, some games that could have been really good, and a few things hold them off, and one, I don't even want to say the game's bad, it just has some performance issues that make it unplayable. And we'll get to that when we get to that. But speaking of payday, if you enjoy the content I make and you want to pay me today or any day, you can join the Patreon at patreon.com/pxs. Getting some plugs in early on, and I'll do it all again later. But I... did I talk about Real Genius here? No, that was a Patreon exclusive. Doing a bit more of that kind of stuff, just random thoughts and whatnot, dumping them on the Patreon in audio form. I was going to do video and audio, but then I said, why do the double posting when videos don't make sense? If they make sense, if there's something that is specifically gained from seeing the video, then I'll put up the video version as well, or I'll just do the video version. And I'm thinking about doing a stream later today, which won't be any help for y'all. But I was thinking about maybe finally opening the Analog Pocket and doing that on a Patreon exclusive private stream. So that may be a thing that happens. And if I do that, I'll probably post the archive or on the extra page so that people can watch it later down the line. And anyone who joins the Patreon, whenever, they can see me excitedly or very not excitedly open that up. But I do have games to talk about. Has there been news? Maybe. I don't remember when all the stuff came out about now. Apparently, no one wants to develop for Xbox because nothing sells. And okay. Great. More happy news. I just hate the industry right now. There's very little positive news to get excited about. If there is any, and you could think of it, significant news. Not news like Balatro, surprising success. Helldiver, surprising success. That stuff is nice, yes. But some more industry-defining news or something? It just seems overall to be a very dour landscape currently. We've had all the layoffs. Xbox seems to be in a big old fucking who knows what anything is happening there. I really hope they announce the handheld that a lot of us, are expecting. Because I think that will probably be the biggest boost to them if they do it. And if it does maybe come out this fall or next spring, I think that could be a big, big win in its side. And it would, to me, what would be good too is if that replaced the S and the S went away and instead you had this handheld, even though part of the S's appeal is its cheaper price, a handheld would be more expensive. I would assume the way they would do it, it would probably be on par with. So I'm not sure where all the prices fall for the low-end ROG Ally, and then there's the ROG Ally, that's Asus, is that theirs? And then the Lenovo Legion Go, is that correct? But of course the Steam Deck, is the low end still 400? So 400 to 500, I think, is where they'd want to land. But the all-digital white Series X would presumably be 400. In terms of price and all that, it's going to be kind of weird. But it'll probably be a similar situation where people will opt for the handheld, even if the prices are similar and it's a weaker system. Though I am kind of curious, because I don't know if we've gotten sales numbers for the Steam Deck and know exactly how many units are out there. Because as successful as it's been, I still feel like it's a small fraction of the market, but I could be very wrong. But I'd be surprised if there are over 10 million Steam Decks, but maybe there are. I just don't think we've ever gotten exact numbers. It'd be awesome if we did and it was over 10 million, because that would say a lot. All we can say is that it's definitely been successful enough for Steam, for Valve not to abandon it like it abandons everything else. And I think that says a hell of a lot. But I think it would make sense for the handheld Xbox, the rumored handheld, the hopeful handheld, to replace the Series S and to come with a dock so that you can play it on your TV just like a Switch. And then I think that not only becomes a much more appealing thing to a lot of gamers out there and people who are very devoted to PlayStation or even Switch, but it also negates in my opinion, the complaints a lot of developers have about having this weaker version of the Xbox, because if the weaker version is this handheld version that is similarly powered to the Steam Deck, are Series S and Steam Deck similarly powered? Because you would also factor in the fact that in its current state, the Series S is meant to be a 1080p max 1440p machine, and in handheld it would be 720p, maybe 1080p, but 720p would make more sense. I don't think you need that extra boost in resolution. So what it's able to do should be increased. I am no technical wizard person with any kind of intelligence, so everything I'm saying is coming out of the hole that all those paydays I'd be eating come out of the next day. I'm going to pay for all those days tomorrow is why they're called paydays. Because you eat a lot of paydays, oh, you'll be paying. Maybe not today, but tomorrow. I love paydays. I haven't had one in years. Nor any candy. I keep talking about doing these kind of things, and they would be fun for Patreon. It's just stupid tier lists. Rate my favorite candy, which I have not eaten in 10 plus years, so who knows if any of it's the same. I'm sure a lot of it's the same. What were we talking about with the handheld and the Xbox and all that crap? It was the whole Xbox, no one wants to develop for it because nobody buys anything on there. And some people say, you know, this game, well, the Xbox version sold in the dozens, which, if true, then I understand why you wouldn't want to waste your time porting it to Xbox. That's the main news that stood out to me. So let us just get on to what I've been playing. Right after, I also talk about the fact that I'm just a little annoyed. I meant to talk about this last episode, and I've touched upon it here and there in previous episodes, more so about Helldivers, but it's continued with Dragon's Dogma 2. I am getting a little annoyed by, and I'm sure we have examples of this every year, but maybe it's because these two titles are two of the bigger games and it's still early on in the year, but I feel like we're getting way more instances of people making excuses for these certain games that in all other cases would be things they complain about. I hearken back to that post on, I think, Polygon, where it was something along the lines of the mechs in Helldivers 2 control like shit, or they suck. And it makes perfect sense for the universe. It's great. They suck, but for Helldivers 2, it's great. And then we also have Dragon's Dogma 2. This game is archaic in its design, and there's barely any fast travel at all, and it's got all these things that make it kind of annoying, you would think, but for Dragon's Dogma 2, it makes it more immersive. It makes it so much better. It's great. In any other game, I'd fucking hate this. Starfield, you had no fucking mini-maps in your towns? This sucks. You want me to fucking learn the fucking town from just exploring myself organically like I would do in real life? No, that's a bad design choice. Oh, Dragon's Dogma 2, no fast travel because we want you to be in the world? Great. What? I don't know if that was the exact reason why they did that in Starfield. I remember people talking about that, but that might have been their assumptions. I can't remember if Bethesda ever came out and said, this is why we did it this way, but people don't seem to like it. And so, I don't like this whole thing I'm seeing where, in these certain cases, I guess because they like the rest of the game, they're willing to accept these other things and say, this was the designer's intent. They designed it this way. They made a specific choice, and I respect that. Unless I don't like the game, then I don't respect it. It's just fucking You can't pick and choose. You either respect them all or shut the fuck up, is how I look at it. I think we should respect more designers' choice in terms of the way games are, you know, and it may not be something we like, but that doesn't mean it's a bad design choice. It means it's something that doesn't work for us. I don't mind the idea of Starfield without the mini maps and towns, but I haven't played it yet. Maybe it would be annoying for other reasons. Maybe it'd be annoying because the way the areas are designed are hard to learn because they just don't make sense. That could be an instance where I like the idea, but the execution, not great because the actual level design is not good. But I like the idea of wanting me to learn the layout organically. But this has just been annoying me, as you can tell. Has it been annoying any of you? I think Lunchbox would probably agree, because this feels like a very Lunchbox and me agree moment. But others, and I don't know if anyone else feels like they've noticed this either. It could just be me, because I'm fucking me. I'm not fucking me, because my peepee is not that long. Though if I had a pair of scissors and I was feeling really wild, but I'd also bleed out. Who knows? If I were to cut it off, would I be able to? It would be flaccid. I mean, if you cut off an erection when it's erect, does it stay erect or does it immediately? Let's not talk about this. What are we on about? Okay. Perfect transition. Erection, flaccid, cut off. What happens? Contra, Operation Galuga. That's what happens. So, this is the latest Contra game. I believe it's from Way Forward. And unlike the last Contra game, which I think was called Rogue Corps, and was a 3D game, this is a side-scrolling game with polygonal art. And did I say side-scrolling? I think I said side-scrolling and not 2D. So it's a traditional side-scrolling Contra game. The first level is very much so a hearkening back to the original Contra game in that first level. And there's a lot to the level design. I've played 5 of the, I believe, 8 levels. And there's a lot of stuff that is throwing back to the series. And it's fine. It's fine. But I think the level design overall is pretty lacking, especially when it plays around with verticality. I don't think it does that particularly well. And in some cases, it seemed to not want to work that well in terms of descending, when there are times when it wants me to descend. Visually, I don't like it. It has a very shiny look to everything that makes all of the characters, especially all of the models, but even the backgrounds and the environments, look plasticky, like they're toys. Something that would fit more in the Toy Soldier series, which was a good series from years and years ago. But it doesn't feel right for Contra. The visuals are okay, but they seem too cartoony and lack the grit I want from a Contra game. I want more Shattered Soldier than Toy Soldiers. So I don't like the look of it. In terms of the feel, it feels pretty all right. I like that because there's a campaign mode, a story mode, which has more story than I was expecting that I don't give a shit about. But there's also an arcade mode, which is traditional Contra, and then a challenge mode, which asks you to get through a level in a certain amount of time and stuff like that, which is fun. And those things can be kind of addictive because they're typically short. So if you fail, very easy to just try again and try again and try again until you succeed. And it does have an upgrade system where you use your coins to grant yourself permanent boosts like extra lives when playing through the campaign mode, or I think in the arcade mode as well, extra health points, which you can adjust, and you'll get a bonus to your score if you turn that off. So you can have a traditional one hit, one kill for your characters, or a HP system, which I think defaults to 3, though it might vary from character to character, because there are, so far at least, I don't know if any more will be unlockable, but I've unlocked 2 additional ones, so I have 6 that I can play as, the typical Lance, and why can't I remember the other name? All I can think is Lance Bass, and that's not, Bass is not the name of the other character. Bill, right? It's Bill and Lance. And then you have 2 female characters. Every character has a dash or a slide or something along those lines. And then some extra little things. One of the other characters has some weird, I don't know if that's how our spreadsheet worked. The characters all have slightly unique abilities and feel to them, but overall play pretty much the same. It has the 2 weapon system, so you can switch between 2 weapons, and if you pick up the same weapon twice, you'll power it up. And there's a powered up shot thing where you can expel a weapon you're currently holding and then shoot off some kind of super powered version of it. So if you have a spread gun and you use the super shot of it, you'll then send bullets flying all over the screen, which is kind of cool. And again, it feels all right. You got a double jump, you got the dash or something along the lines of a dash, and you can unlock the classic 8-bit soundtrack, which I like a lot more than the modern soundtrack, which is okay, but I like that nostalgia. Sunny. I'm not overly fond of the sound effects. There's something about the machine gun power-up that feels wrong, and it's because of how it sounds. But it's fine. It just lacks the creativity I would like in terms of level design, because it seems to be trying to feed off of your nostalgia a lot with it, which maybe makes sense as an apology for Rogue Corps or whatever that game was called that seemingly no one liked. But I would have I would have much rather had either a Contra Collection Volume 2 that had Neo Contra, Shattered Soldier, I believe Hardcore Uprising is canonically a Contra game, but I could be wrong. I don't know how that, where that falls, but I want those 2. And then I don't know if the dual screen is important, but Contra 4 would be nice in that as well. Or just a remaster, something or other, remake of Shattered Soldier, because I think Shattered Soldier is the best Contra game. Though, let's keep in mind that I have not played in any significant way Contra 3, which is the Alien Wars, right? I do own it. It is one of the few Super Nintendo games I picked up. That is the, right? Or is that Super Contra? Do I own both? Contra 3 is the Genesis one? I'm all confused with it. for me, Contra was Contra, and then nothing until Shattered Soldier, and then Contra 4. I missed everything else. But Contra, Operation Galuga, if you're a fan of Contra, it's a solid Contra game. It just won't inspire love from you, I don't think. It'll probably meet your expectations and at least not disappoint you. So that's something. But don't expect something amazing. It is a solid 7-ish out of 10. Maybe 6.5. But I don't do 0.5, so I'll give it a 7. I'll say it's a 7 over a 6 because I had enough fun with it, and I'll go back to it and finish it. But it just, you know, it's okay. What's not okay is Ario. This is the game that has the performance issues. I also saw in one of the reviews on the Xbox store, because I played this on Xbox, that apparently the game is only 30 minutes, which that's not good. And especially not good when you have as much screen tearing as this game has. And by as much, I mean it's a constant thing. The screen is constantly tearing, as are my eyes from looking at it and all of the screen tearing that it is shoving down my throat. So in its current state, I cannot recommend it to anyone because I find screen tearing to be one of the worst performance issues a game could have. It bothers the hell out of me. It bothers me more than probably anything. Frame rate issues, I don't love, but I can deal with them more than screen tearing. Screen tearing is something that will give me a headache, depending on how bad it is. This is nowhere near the worst screen tearing I've ever seen, but it is very noticeable, very constant, and even on top of that, the game doesn't feel that great, which I don't think is screen tearing related, because it's a rough game. And if you're wondering what kind of game it is, seemingly an action platformer, you're doing some platforming, then you have enemies and you can shoot a bow and arrow at them, or you can shove them, you can rush into them, or do a ground stomp, which the ground stomp and the shoving are stamina based. Ground stomp requires a full bar. Shove requires one tick on your 3-tick stamina bar. But again, none of it matters because in its current state with all the screen tearing, unplayable, unrecommendable. And if it really is only 30 minutes to complete, and I can't see from what little I have played there being much reason to replay it, that'll be another issue, because I'm not sure how much it costs. 30 minutes is not bad depending on price, but if it's, say, $20, that is a bit rough. Even for me, who thinks games are incredibly undervalued, I think a safe way to value, if you want to put a price to a time, $10 an hour. But yeah, screen tearing means no. And that is Ario. Next, we have Tamarack Trail, which is a dice building game, a dice building roguelite. Oh my God, tell me if you've heard this before, where you have a huge screen with varying paths and you can go down different paths that'll have fights in them or treasure chests or stores to purchase new die faces and so on and so forth, and you go into these battles where you have your turn, then your opponent has their turn, they have the attacks or what they're going to do on their next turn above their head, so you know, okay, they're going to attack me, or they're going to use a spell, or they're going to defend, and you can strategize around that. It's all very straightforward from a structure standpoint. But I think there are two, or not two, but where the game loses me is in its onboarding. I don't think it does a great job of teaching people exactly how everything works and what everything is. I was playing the game and didn't exactly understand how the health system worked. And there were times where I thought I had a grasp on it, and then I destroyed an enemy when I thought they still had a lot of health left and was confused. The gameplay is kind of dull and boring. The art is technically proficient and of a high quality, but I don't really like it. And it comes down more so to the color palette choice and the way it's shaded and just the overall feel of it than the actual character designs and the animations, which I think are of a relatively high quality overall. It reminds me of the Banner Saga, which a lot of people love. I didn't love the Banner Saga in terms of the visuals, but I like the Banner Saga more. So I don't love the visuals, but I don't hate them or anything. I just think there's a blandness, lifelessness to them that makes me not super jazzed to be looking at the game. It's a very, very generic in terms of the way it looks, not in design fantasy. It just feels like your average everyday fantasy art style, and it doesn't do a whole lot for me. I wish it was a bit more stylistic in execution, but the gameplay, the rolling of the dice, feels very lacking in terms of the physics. And I just couldn't really get into it. I wasn't feeling it. I did a few runs and I started to get more of a grasp on it. It definitely seems like a game that you need to put some time into to get a grasp on how things work and what everything does. But it just wasn't doing anything for me. And that's a bummer because I really liked the dice system in it. I played a fair amount of these games, and mostly deck building games, card based games. So I can't speak to whether or not this is a completely new way of doing it or if this has existed in other dice building games. But I really like that at a store or after a battle, instead of getting a choice between different die, you get a choice between different die faces, and then you can take that new face and replace one of the faces on the dice in your hand so that you can build a strategy around the faces you choose instead of the die you choose, which I think is maybe similar to how some games have done it. I know there's a dice system in Curious Expeditions 2, but I don't think you could customize the die. I think you could just replace entire dice. So I like that, but the game itself wasn't really doing anything for me, sadly. That is Tamarack Trail. Next, we have Garden Life, a cozy simulator, which looks great. It has a very painterly aesthetic that I really, really like. It definitely has wonderful, cozy visuals. It's a first-person game, and it's a pleasant to be in that world, in that space, with all these flowers and all that stuff. There's a fuzziness to it, which does work for some reason. But it loses a lot of cozy points by being unbelievably tedious. You get a lot of tasks, and they want you to give certain amounts of clippings of these flowers and that flowers. Crafting and all that kind of stuff is simple, but Inventory management can be a pain in the butt, especially on gamepad. More so than that, the actual garden work is so fucking annoying. Because if you want to prune a rose bush, for instance, you have to press the, you pull out your prune, your pruning shears, whatever, and you press it every single time to prune one flower. And it can take a long ass time to prune some of these bigger plants. A sunflower that just has the one flower, easy as pie. Is pie easy to make? I don't know. I've never made a pie. Probably not. They don't look super easy. My elbow fell off the table. And it becomes annoying real fast. And no longer cozy. No longer chill. No longer fun. Which is a shame because I like so much of the game. I played a few hours of it and overall I enjoyed it, I guess. But I eventually just stopped because the tasks I was given and what I had to do started to become less relaxing and more annoying. What I wish they had was some kind of system that when you... because you can prune something down to basically nothing. You can prune the hell out of something. There's no limitation. And you do have to kind of move the cursor around so that you're pruning where the flowers are. After you prune a flower away, then you don't want to just keep pruning this empty open space. It'll kind of keep giving you new flower heads and all that. But it is way more advantageous to move around like you're actually pruning the bush or the flower or whatever. But I wish they just had a simple alternate mechanic where if you want to just prune a few flowers, if you don't want to prune a bush all the way down to it being barren and kind of ugly looking, that you could, instead of pressing a button to prune one head, if you held it on a flower or plant, that it would just prune it in its current entirety. That simple change, that simple addition, would go such a long way that I'd probably stick to playing it and keeping it as something I go back to as just a chill game to play around my garden. But in its current form, I think it's a little too tedious to be cozy. But maybe they'll update it. Maybe they'll do something, because of these types of games, this is one of the ones I've enjoyed more, and I really like the way it looks. It definitely looks great. And if you're playing the story mode, it has a story with a ghost, and it's whatever. The characters are fine, but it just looks so nice. And I like the audio with it as well, especially when it's raining. When it's raining, ooh, just don't make me fucking prune the shit out of these fucking rose bushes. Jesus. But that is Garden Life, a cozy simulator. Next is Manic Mechanics, which is an Overcooked-like, where instead of trying to manage a restaurant or a bunch of movers or whatever, you are managing a mechanics place. So cars will come in and then you'll have to replace the tires on them or replace the hood, add a spoiler, so on and so forth. Give it a new engine. So you're taking, what do you call beat up cars? Junkers? You're taking junkers and you're breathing new life into them. I have played quite a few of these games, and one of my immediate questions with all of them is, are they viable single player? Because that is, unfortunately, the way I am able to play most of them. And in the case of Manic Mechanics, I think it is. I was surprised. I think it is quite manageable single player. Is it fun single player? It kind of is. You get into a nice flow state of having these cars come in and fixing the parts for them. As you progress deeper and deeper into these levels, they'll throw in obstacles that get in your way. They'll have characters who are trying to junk the cars in there completely, even when you're in mid fixing up. So you'll have to pull a little switch to stop them from grabbing them with a magnet and pulling them away and destroying them, and so on. And the mechanics of these various parts and fixing them, like a tire and engine or painting things, are simple, but I like them. So with tires, you mash a button and you want to keep it in the green bar. With painting, you will hold the button and then use the analog stick to hold left and right until you're in the green bar to let go. And that back and forth feels pretty good. And then with the engine, using your tools, you hold the button and let go of it when it's in the green. And all those are simple, but they're all slightly different and feel good and satisfying. You have a little dash. The work area will get dirty over time, and you can mop that up, but you don't have to worry about cleaning the area unless you do utilize dashing a lot, because then you'll slip. But there's a real generousness with the throwing of items. So if you fix a tire and you want to put on a car and the car's on the other in the other corner, you can throw it and feel way more confident than you probably expect that it will find its way onto the car, which is really nice, especially when playing solo. I do think the game would be a lot more fun with other people, as all these kinds of games are, but I was surprised by how much I enjoyed playing the game so far. It might get to a point where it's unmanageable single player, but getting through the first area and playing a bit of the second area, I was having a good time, and I was able to 3-star every level. So, good on you, Manic Mechanics. I like you. As far as all these kinds of Overcooked and so on, Moving Out, etc. games go, Manic Mechanics might be my favorite for solo play. So, that's maybe saying something or maybe not saying all that much, but I was surprised. I was pleasantly surprised. And then Stunt Paradise is sort of a Trials-like, where you're going through these basically side-scrolling levels in a vehicle, rotating your car to make sure you land in a way so that your car won't get destroyed when you're doing little flips and wanting to land on a ramp or this or that the way you should. It has... It's not very challenging. It seems to be more of a, hey, look at the dominoes we set up in this level. Isn't this cool? Look at the stunts we set up. Isn't this kind of fun and exciting? There's not much challenge here, as evident by the fact that there are no leaderboards, and it doesn't really matter how long it takes you to complete a level, because we're not going to track that, so that has nothing to do with the score. And I think it's just 20 levels, because I believe there are 20 achievements for completing each level, and that's it. Not completing them and getting this special or doing that thing. It's just, okay, finish the level. And I've done about half of them. And they have set piece-ish moments in almost all or all of the levels. So in terms of the way the levels are set up, it's cool. But it's not... When you step back, it's not fun to play because there's no real challenge to it. You're not being timed. You're not going after a leaderboard. You're not chasing anyone else. So there's not any of that to really concern yourself with. And the levels just feel very designed and deliberate, and it takes away any kind of... It just feels as exciting as the levels may be and the set pieces that they have and explosions that can exist and big jumps and so on and so forth. They all feel pretty dull because of that lack of challenge. So... It's an okay kind of single session game that I wouldn't really recommend picking up unless it was super cheap, because I don't see, and because of the lack of leaderboards and stuff of that nature, and there may be levels after level 20, or it could just be the 20 levels, there's not any real reason to replay any level. There is a star that you could miss, but in the levels I've played, there was only the one level, I think, where I could see a way for you to miss a star, and all the other ones, it just seemed to be along the way. So not even that gives much replayability. It's got a nice cartoony, cel-shady aesthetic, but other than levels being designed in an exciting way and the game looking all right, it's actually quite dull and boring to play. That is, again, Stunt Paradise. And that will do it for this year's episode of the Pixelated Sausage Show. Once again, I am Marcus Nez. Y'all can find me pretty much everywhere at PX Sausage. If you enjoyed this here show or any of the stuff I do and what have you, you can support me and my nonsense over at patreon.com/PXS. In addition to the Patreon, you can find links to the site, the Discord, the YouTube, and all that jazz over at pxsausage.com. And speaking of the Patreon, that is the way at the all-you-can-eat tier to get access to the monthly Q&A, where you ask me questions and then I answer them, or you can even request songs, which people like to do. This last Q&A, I sang Happiness is a Warm Gun by The Beatles and My Humps by The Black Eyed Peas, two very similar songs. And we already have a couple of recommendations for the Q&A for this month, including, or is it just the one? So far we have Sabotage by The Beastie Boys, which I am scared shitless because I've never really listened to much Beastie Boys at all. But I know Lunchbox loves them. And I'm sure I've heard Sabotage. I can't think of it off the top of my head. The only Beastie Boys song I can think of is something. I'm not even going to try and sing it because I don't know exactly. Something where, if you know what the hell I was just doing there, then that's the one. But you get that at the all-you-can-eat tier, as well as all the additional random stuff and random streams and jazz like that. And if you just want access to the private Discord channel, where a lot of conversations and stuff happens, you can get the middle tier. Or if you just want to say, hey, I like your stuff, but I don't want any extra stuff, there's even a tier for you. And that's the cream of wheat tier. Because cream of wheat is almost as good as oatmeal, but it's not oatmeal. So, anywho, that will really do it for this year's show. Once again, not once again, but as always, I hope you enjoyed this year's episode, and I hope you have both a wonderful rest of your day, a lovely rest of your week, and a wonderful weekend. But for now, adios, arrivederci, bye!